Hello, it's Wednesday 1st of September. I'm Hannah Pearson from Per Anderson. On today's show, Gary Bowerman of Check In Asia and I are delighted to welcome Jacques Guichandou, Managing Director of All Dreams Cambodia, to discuss the year so far in Cambodia. So let's get started. This is the Southeast Asia Travel Show.
Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thanks for listening in. So today's show is part 9 of our 10-part 2021, the year so far in ASEAN series, where we're talking to local analysts in each country of the region. So far, we've produced an ASEAN overview and a year so far in statistics show, plus country-specific editions for Singapore, Vietnam, Laos, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Indonesia. This week, we're heading to Cambodia to chat with Jacques Guichandou, who's Managing Director of All Dreams Cambodia and a longtime resident in one of our favorite countries in the region, which is Cambodia. So Jacques, thanks very much for coming on the show. How are you doing today and whereabouts are you?
Yeah, thanks so much. And thanks so much for the introductions. And very happy to hear that you say that it is one of your favorite countries. So, No, doing pretty well. We have been quite lucky to live in Cambodia, in fact.
And you're based in Phnom Penh, is that correct?
Yes. I've always been here since almost 24 years, I think.
Wow. So we've got plenty to pack in over the next 30 minutes, and we'll drag back over some of that time. But let's start at the beginning. So Jacques, you were originally from France. You studied at the world-famous Hotel Management School in Lausanne in Switzerland. So was hospitality your original career choice?
I always wanted to work in hotel industries. So it's why I had the chance to do this this school. After the school, I always wanted to go to Asia. And one of my obsessions was to go to China at this time. And China at that time was not really open. So I did first a training in Taipei. And then after was lucky to be in China in October 91. So for 2 years, where I stayed in Shanghai. And then after, I moved to Vietnam for a year. It was just also on the opening part. And after, for decided to go back to France. And it's where I starting to work for a company called Maison de l'Indochine, and which was just opening Indochina area, like Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and so on. And I stayed there for 3 years. I was very interested. And then after, I had the opportunities to go back to Asia, and it was a position for an hotel in Phnom Penh. So I went back to the hotel industries. But you know hotel, huh? And at that time, I was general managers. And it's where I realized that a spirit, to give an ambience, the general managers have a lot of work to do there. Your private life is less and less. After 1 year and a half, I had the opportunities to join DTM Travel, and I go back to the tourism industry, and then after DTM Travel, and then after 1 year and a half or 2 years later, there have been musicians, and I was one of the founders with Lutzi Matzik, Laurent Künzle and Roger Müller, and we have created Asian Trails. Then after we sold the Asian Trails, and after a while, I decided to stay here in Cambodia and only concentrate for Cambodia and create All Dreams Cambodia. As I said, all my dreams is here. And we've been operating since 8 years now.
So just before we continue on to Cambodia, I'm interested just to find a little bit more about your time in Shanghai, because I lived there for 6 years, but it was a long time after you. Where did you work for 2 years in Shanghai back in 91?
Yes. No, it was really amazing. We participate at the openings of which is today the Ritz-Carlton. At that time, it was just after Tiananmen. So, almost no car, everyone with the Mao costumes, many places where we could not really, enter for shopping and so on, you know. And, for example, Pudong was really rice field and so on. So It was really amazing.
That's the original Ritz-Carlton at the Portman Center, because there are two now. There's one in Pudong as well, right?
Ah, yes. No, no. It is the original one in front of the Russian convention centers. But you know, the most funny things at that time when we are going in this kind of destinations, which was not really open and so on, we had in our contract kind of R&R, you know, rest and recreation. And we were supposed to leave the countries after every 2-3 months. As it was during the opening and so on, I managed to get out only after 9 months. And my first destination was Hong Kong. And when I arrived in Hong Kong, I was like a kid. Amazing experience, I have to say. And it's really amazing having this experience by almost 30 years and so on to see how China is today, huh? Completely different. So what they did in such limitation of times is wow.
Wow, that must have really been a very different experience to what Gary and then later, you know, I was in China too, what I experienced. So tell us about All Dreams Cambodia then, Sha. Pre-pandemic, were you mainly handling the inbound market?
So when I decided to continue my career here in Cambodia, it's because first I've loved these countries and the people and the Cambodian people, and then after, for me, there is a real potential. So I was convinced with Asian Trails. I was also looking on operations in other countries, but for me, I mean, I was based in Cambodia, and it was very clear for me that I have to stay here and try to promote the destinations. So the pay changed quite a lot, as you can suppose. When the pandemic arrived, you have to know that we are fourth shareholder inside the company. Okay, it's myself, and then after us, three Cambodians, which was my former staff before. So we create together All Dreams. When the pandemic started in March, we had the meetings and we took a decision after 1 or 2 months that we will not terminate any staff. In the ideas, like most of the people, that this one will be solved within a few months. We had planned already to have business back in summer times and then after for winter times and so on. So a position was very clear. Of course, everyone have to participate. So means that every staff have been a salary cutoff of 50% since I think June last year. But we decided, okay, we will not terminate any staff. At the end, we are probably one of the only one to have not terminate any staff, and the only one to have keep, because we had 4 permanent guides and they are still with us. And then after, what's happened is that, of course, the first few months, you know, people were not doing much. Everyone was working at 50%. And then suddenly I realized that by starting summer times, almost a year ago, people were starting to depressed because they have no much to do. They was not used to that. We decided to keep them, but on the same time, so we have to keep to motivate them. At that time, we start to realize that this COVID will not be end up by this year. So we decided to open 2 branches. So one was to targeting the healthy Cambodian people because they have to travel inside the countries. And one was to target doing team building activities, where at the beginning was mainly concentrated for the expatriates. And then we did few tuk-tuk race around in Phnom Penh. We did one for the Halloween, where for a month we were very busy, so it was quite fun. And then after starting to continue, so now we are really working to be decided to be more on sustainability, because it's really a trend and a request for the few people who will come again. So we will be, I hope, soon Travel Life member, which is an organization for 2 operators in the world. So we work with them on this one. Then after us, we have also on the same logic, starting to calculate for any tools that we will propose to our clients for them to compensate their carbon print in the countries, where after this money collected will be for one of the organizations in Cambodia. And then we're starting to launch also some virtual experience, because we are part of the groups called Beyond Limit. We have launched virtual experience all over the world. So we're working for the one here in Cambodia.
Just going back, Jack, just before COVID happened, those first 2 months of last year, 2020, so January and February, were they good months for you? Were you seeing a lot of international clients coming into the country?
Let's see. We have the first client, which is a very well-known American company. And then after, so it was our first client. And then after, the major one were the French, Spain, Switzerland, then after Israel. And we were just starting also to enter into the Indian market. And the figures were pretty good, huh? Very good. So it helped us to survive for a few months.
So you were expecting 2020 to be a strong year?
Yes. After that, I was quite surprised for 2020 financial report at the end of the year. The loss was very, very limited. Because, of course, after we cut a lot of expense, half of the salaries, of course, and we reduced the size of the offices in Phnom Penh. So we work a lot on our expenses to cut it at the maximum. The one for 2021 is another story.
And so for the team building side of your business, where are the popular destinations for doing that in Cambodia?
This idea was because we starting before to cooperate with a company based in Vietnam called UbiQuest, and they had created some Urban Tales, which is a kind of escape games, but in the cities of Saigon, Hanoi, and Hue. And then after us, we were in touch with them, and we buy the license for Cambodia, and we're starting with one in Phnom Penh. And but they have also one part which was for the team building activities. It was not at the beginning my interest. So then after now, we've been cooperate with them on the team building activities. It's really the beginning, because the target from now on will be for the local company, and when the business will be back, but that one will be, I think, in 2024, maybe, for all the companies coming to Cambodia, where usually they will organize or request to have team building activities. And then for this UbiQuest in Saigon, they were mainly working on not really local companies, but companies from Singapore, Hong Kong, Thailand, Taiwan, coming to visit Saigon or Hanoi.
And how about for leisure domestic tourism? Have you seen any interesting trends? Have things changed?
Alors, yes, definitely. Alors, for us, as I mentioned, we decided to focus mainly on the high-end level, okay? So it is important for us, because I realized from my size that they were mainly traveling in groups, family groups or friends groups, but we almost never sold any FIT groups or just a family with four, for example. So it is very interesting, because the ideas later on will be to propose, of course, when the countries will be reopened, other destinations for them to travel overseas. But after the trend, the Cambodian really start to discover all of this remove area like Ratanakiri, the Cardamom, on ecotourism. And the governments have almost immediately decided to promote these destinations. And now there is still a lot of effort from the Ministry of Tourism to develop kind of sustainabilities local business, mainly for this local client.
That's interesting to hear. So you explained quite a lot about what happened in 2020. You were looking towards a good year. Then things had to pivot. You changed your business. You moved into the local market exclusively. You also had to have some cost cutting there. When it came to the start of 2021, what were you thinking would be the year ahead? Were you optimistic or were you kind of pessimistic?
I am an optimistic person. Always think that there is hope. And as you understood via the names of the company, many dreams. Maybe I dreams too much, but okay. The thing is, for us, we have been so lucky in 2020, because we have very, very few cases for the COVID. So for us, for the 2020, most of the cases were imported, okay? And and then after, we have never any lockdown and so on. So The last 3 months of the years were very good due to the situations. And when you have zero and suddenly you have much more, it's already very good. But then after, we're starting to have a few cases, but they managed to control it very well in November, December. So we have the times where it was a little bit complicated. After, for example, for the times of New Year's, we think that most of the expatriates and so on will stay in Phnom Penh. So we had prepared 2 weeks programs with full activities every day, 3 or 4 activities every day for this clientele, that unfortunately we have most of them to cancel because it entered this kind of restrictions of gatherings and so on. And then after January start to pick up again. And then after, as you know, on 20th of February, we had the spray. So means that since February, and it starts really to recover, that we say by mid of June, July.
And how has the lack of tourists impacted the Cambodian tourism industry in general and the economy?
It's terrible. We haven't yet numbers of office closed or hotel closed and restaurant, because for the moment they said they've been suspending and they will reopen when the business, the countries will be reopened. But then after, we are not sure that they will be able to reopen. So, and if you go to Siem Reap, it's terrible. Only few hotels managed to reopen because they had the local market at the beginning of end of the last years. And then after now, during all of this time from February and so on, almost zero, plus the restrictions in between and so on. So situation is really not good. And a lot of people lose, of course, job. So we have the possibilities, the government implemented a kind of indemnities, yes. So for people, the company were closed. So there is a lot of people who are still suspended. And receive from the government some help. But when it will be reopened, it will be one of the issues. But I think it is almost everywhere in most of the countries in Europe, all over the world, and the problem is the same.
It's been a very difficult time. So for our listeners around the world, Jack, tell us what the current situation is in Cambodia. Do you have any restrictions? Are people able to travel domestically? Are flights operating? What's the current situation?
We've never been closed. Means that contrary to a few countries like Laos and so on, we had always the possibilities to leave the countries or to come back. Then after, they're starting really to implement it some regulations. And now, of course, after the February 20 event, it's very strict. Means that 2 days, you have a 14 days quarantine in designated hotels, okay, where you cannot go out of the rooms. Then after, you have to leave a deposit of $2,000 there. There is no more issuing, of course, of a tourist visa. Today is definitely, if there is still this kind of restrictions on the futures opening, it will never work. Okay, so we don't know exactly what will be the decisions of the government. We know as for 2 days, I mean, people have to spend 14 days quarantine and it costs them at least 2,000. So, for example, we had few family who left for the summer holidays. But the budget for a family of 4 was just for this issue on the quarantine and so on, around $10,000. So you imagine. But we could go out. Really an advantage.
And how about domestic tourism? Is that currently permitted?
It has been always permitted, but then after with the development of the virus recently, they have closed, for example, some area. So we had for a while, we could not travel among the different province. They have closed a month ago and something, all the province near Thailand because of the people coming back, and also near Vietnam. Now they're starting to lift all of this. Yes, for a while it was not possible really to travel internally, but now it's okay.
And so in terms of vaccination, obviously vaccination is very, very important in terms of whether the country is able to reopen to travel this year or next year. What's the current situation with vaccines in Cambodia?
We have to say so much thanks to our government because we have one of the best vaccinations in Southeast Asia. I don't have exactly the right figures of today, and now probably you know better than me. But for example, Phnom Penh is probably one of the first or top capital in the world to have vaccinated almost 99% of these populations. We have they starting on the 1st of August to vaccinated the kids over 12 years. And we have already access, for the moment it's from the front line, but from the third dose. And they have authorized private hospital or pharmaceutical to import vaccine directly. So for example, for us, so all our team has been vaccinated. And we have also access to the rapid test. We do approximately now we did the second time, so every month, we do a test for all the staff. So on vaccination, and it's been very well organized, free for all the foreigners, which is quite amazing. And yes, the population is safe. So they are in advance about their programs, and they expect to have reached this level of 70 to 80% by maybe beginning of October or November. We're waiting for the some of the result, but it's definitely one of the best after Singapore in terms of vaccinations. And they have buy and get all the doses before, which was not the case, for example, in Vietnam or in Taiwan. So we have everything, and there is a very clear plan for the vaccinations, which was a plan quite ahead. So it's not like in certain countries, I won't say like in Europe, where you have a part of the population who doesn't want to get vaccinated. Here, everyone wants to get vaccinated.
I mean, looking from the outside, from Malaysia, you know, looking at, I think it has always been a surprise that Cambodia has done so well, you know, like you said, second behind Singapore. And Singapore is much richer, a lot smaller. A lot simpler to get everybody vaccinated. So I think Cambodia has definitely got to earn credit there for really rolling out.
Yeah, they should get an award. Huh? And we have been on, I forget on which week in August, but we have been number one in the world in terms of vaccinations of the populations on prorated. But no one knows. When I call my partners in Europe and so on and start to tell them, you know, for us, we are very lucky and so on, but they have no ideas. So we published a weekly report. I think we are on number 60 or 61 for a few months to have the first pages with the good news. Today, the person who is doing with me, she called me and said, for the good news, there is not so many. It's very important that people knows about it, okay? Because it will be also a key factor for the tourists to come back.
So the big factor then, and the big question, is when will tourists come back? Is Cambodia going to reopen in 2021?
First, I hope. And what I said since quite a long... Also, one thing which is very important to mention here is that the government has always request advice or lessons about the private sectors. Means that in any sectors of the economy, there is always committees handling these sectors where you have, of course, most of the parties from the representative of the government, but also they invited the private sectors to exchange and see how we can improve it. And that has been done for quite a long time. Huh? Then, of course, for the COVID, they did the same. Everything is, I think, really linked to these vaccinations. So as we are ahead in terms of vaccinations, and that plan is that we should reach this 70 or 80% pretty soon, let's hope that they will open soon. And also because somewhere, and that is to come back on maybe at the beginning of what I was saying, is in terms of tourism for Cambodia, it's not being seen as one destination. Cambodia is, of course, this amazing temple Angkor. So me being in this business for so many years, it's been very difficult for me to propose and to sell and to have clients for only a trip to Cambodia. So we managed to do it with few markets. But for example, with the American clients that we have, and they have quite a huge volumes, 95% only do Siem Reap. So it is really for us something. Alors, true, a few years back and so on, I mean, there was not all the facilities in all the countries and so on, but things really changed. And now we have amazing beach with amazing hotels also on the island. The area of Kampot Cape, it's really unique. On the river Mekong also is the same. So you can find accommodation for almost all type of clients that you want. And now is a message that all the private sectors try to pass to the government is that we are on kind of configurations, which I think will never happen again, means that many factors is here to sell and offer Cambodia as one destination. Now, of course, me, I said one dream destination, but as one destination. Why? Because first, the country is the first one in this area in terms of vaccinations. Secondly, Cambodia was said as an extension of the trips of Vietnam or Laos or Thailand. But now this kind of will not really work because too complicated to cross countries. And now, unfortunately, for them, the situations of our neighbors is really no good. So it means that they will not really open as they were planning before. And if the government took the chance to reopen now, it will be amazing because it means that during this winter times where Asia has been one of the top destinations for European, American market and so on, they will have no much choice. They will have to sail Phuket or maybe Thailand and Cambodia. Maybe this is with the gods of Angkor. We don't know if the government will do, but I can assure you that the private sectors has been working on it.
Absolutely. I think you're right. This is really the opportunity. And I think Nick Ray, when we had him on a few months ago, was saying the same, you know, for Cambodia to promote itself as this mono country destination. And like you say, the rest of Southeast Asia right now, you're not going to be doing a Cambodia-Vietnam itinerary anytime soon, I don't think.
And then I'm not sure that this type of tools will also in the future sales, because you have all of these ideas of this slow tourism where people will spend maybe more time on a destination, so on the cities or places, and they don't want anymore, well, let's see, but run every day, wake up every day at 6 o'clock, packed again, and for the next day on another cities and so on. So this trend for the moment, we don't really know if it will happen or not, but apparently it is really what is, if you look into any studies and so on, it's what they said, huh? The trend should be that we go on the slow tourism, much more sustainable. And it's also one of the key chance for Cambodia to be seen finally as a real destination. Because for the clients that, and we had clients, we've been spending 2 weeks, even 3 weeks in Cambodia and so on. And there is really many things to see. We have never any complaints. Even people are very surprised.
So we got time for just one more question, Jacques. And you mentioned there, we've talked about 2020, we've talked about 2021. We're going to look ahead. You said you're an optimistic person about 2022, but you did say earlier that you weren't expecting a full recovery until 2024. So what's your feelings about the next couple of years? Will it be a gradual rebuild for tourism in Cambodia?
Yes, definitely. We don't know when they will be really open. There have been some articles in the press that they talk about Q4 for this year. So let's hope. But then after we have to see on which conditions and so on. But then after slowly the business will come back. And I think we will start to have, let's hope, better ideas by end of 2022. And we may expect to go back to the former figures by 23 or 24. But it's so unpredictable. You know, it's especially for us, we are working mainly on B2B. The major question for us is to see which one will still be there in 2022, for example. It's why we have to rethink. And somewhere, as I said, it's okay. Maybe one day I will say that COVID was not so bad because, in fact, if the two departments we have created is also doing well, and the business back from the inbound, I will have never opened these two departments without the COVID, for sure. So, let's see.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you're right. Right, we will look back on this time and say, well, you know, this gave us a chance to pivot and to find other opportunities and look at things in a different way.
And then also one thing which is also let's see how it's going to work. But if we opening now means that it will be a unique chance for the travelers to visit Angkor Wat with almost no one. Because one of the complaints, you know, was in the past that the Chinese market was too much and then Angkor was overcrowded. And being in such monuments almost alone is completely different, I tell you. So it's one thing that we will, of course, advertise because it's unique.
Well, thank you so much, Shek, for that interview. I know Gary and I really enjoyed hearing your insights about Cambodia. And that brings us to the end of today's Cambodia, the Year So Far special edition of the show. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and don't forget to send us your thoughts and comments on what we discussed with Shek or what we missed out. You can drop us an email at hello@theseasiatravelshow.com or message us on our LinkedIn page at the Southeast Asia Travel Show or Twitter at SEA Travel Show.
Yep. Meanwhile, you can catch up with the Southeast Asia Travel Show's full back catalogue on our website, www.theseasiatravelshow.com, or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Podchaser, Castbox, Overcast, Podcast Addict, and Stitcher. And of course, now on Amazon Music as well. Just search for the Southeast Asia Travel Show on each app. And if you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please remember to rate and review us because that helps other people to find our show.
So that's a wrap for today. And we look forward to talking Southeast Asian travel and tourism again with you very soon.